here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you got me doing a little last-minute research here. Something just popped into bed. Good morning. Good Wednesday morning. Great day to be alive, the 23rd of May, 2018. Lord's not making another. Let's run today with patience. The race is set before us, but Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Man, the world is on fire. The culture is disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. Hey, I gave all of you a fair warning yesterday. We're going to talk a little bit about money today and what's really going on. And again, some of the things they've been teaching us in the Bible that simply are not true in regards to a lot. And that we're going to be faced, all of us, I believe, at some point, are going to be faced with some very, very difficult decisions that I think most of them are going to revolve around finances. What's going to happen with money? What's money going to become? We know about Bitcoin and Litecoin and gold and silver and everything. There is certainly a financial, I don't want to use the term collapse, although that's probably a good term. There's a financial reckoning that's coming because we are so, so deeply in debt. All of us are. And I was thinking about that yesterday, or 2 days ago, I guess it really popped in my head that I wanted to talk with you a little bit about it. Because listen, as the disclaimer says, I am not a financial advisor. Okay, so I'm not even talking about anything like that. I just want to try to lay some things out on the table that maybe going to open your eyes, wake you up a little bit. Before we do that, remember Pastor Mike Spaulding. Daggone, is he in here today? Because yes. Man, I'm sorry. I've been neglecting you out there a little bit, brother. Can you come in and talk a little bit about your event that's coming up in June in Lima, Ohio?
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, everyone.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you. Yeah, it's Friday, June 8th through Sunday, June the 10th. And, of course, Coach will be there bringing his usual message of encouragement and rallying the troops and getting us focused. And Russ Dizdar will be with us. Dave Arthur will be there. Tom Dunn, Casper McLeod, David Hefner, Mark Trump. Mark Trump's coming, Coach.
Wow. Good.
Yeah.
Going to be a good crowd.
Yeah, no cost. It's a free registration, folks. But you do need to register. Appreciate a head count at least so I know what to expect.
Where are they registered there, Pastor Mike?
They can go to SoaringEagleRadio.com, SoaringEagleRadio.com, up in the, I believe it's up in the upper right-hand corner. There'll be a conference banner. I think they click on that. It'll take them to the registration page.
We got to get that up on our own website there. I'm sorry about that, man.
That's all right.
Well, no, we do. So, folks, that'll be a good one, good thing to come to. God bless Pastor Spaulding. He's one of those guys he's one of those silent assassins. He's quietly working behind the scenes and you don't even really know what's going on. So it's an honor, Pastor, to call you a friend and honor to come and be there. And I'd like to see some other brothers. I heard from some guys. He said, Coach, what about I can't come to both of those events. There's one you're having in June and one Pastor Mike's having. Which one should I come to? I said, whatever works on your schedule. Ours, the one we're having on June 15, 16, is an activism, getting you out on the streets. Pastor Mike's event will be a little bit more information, how to, why to, what we need to do. And then the next weekend, we're just going to walk out some of that stuff. So bless you there, Pastor Mike. And guys, listen, if you're going to go to either one of those, please let us know, will you? Please let us know that. Just because from a numbers standpoint, we try to get all that stuff organized and all the food and everything that goes along with it. And it's all good. All good. Hey, listen, can we do this today? Say, sure you can, Coach. It's your show. Let's go. Let's start here today on John 3. Not 3rd John, John 3. Anybody got anything for the good of the group? Chat, anything crazy going on down your way? Glenn, Rob Pugh, anybody like that? Anything you want to chime in here with this morning before we get rolling into this stuff?
Well, can I chime in with Trump's appearance? Trump's announcement that Planned Parenthood abortion would no longer be paid for with tax dollars.
I thought he was pro-choice. I thought he was the most liberal guy that ever came down the highway. I thought that he was a plant. I thought he was put in there just to screw Christian. That's what I thought.
Same here.
What's going on?
It's a grand deception, brother. It's a grand deception. What do we do?
They told me that when he'd get in there, he's pro-choice, and he's going to get in there, and he's going to fund everything. And unless I'm missing the boat here, Vince, he tried to get the Congress to defund Planned Parenthood, didn't he?
Yeah,
I think he tried to get him to do it, and Paul Ryan and those guys wouldn't do it, right? If somebody helped me out here, I think so.
There's something was going on, yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, it's something. We live in crazy, crazy times. So he's trying to defund Planned Parenthood, and it's still not enough for you never Trumpers out there. And you know what it is when you're a never Trumper? You're just full of pride. And you can't admit you were wrong. I don't think he's the second coming, the third coming, the fourth coming, or the fifth coming. I don't think anything about that. But I think he's God's man for the time in which we're in. And I just sit here today, and I wonder what America would be like, number one, if Hillary had won, but number two, if Ted Cruz had won. First of all, Ted Cruz would have never won.
Amen, Coach.
He'd have never won. He'd have never won. You know, I saw something else. This all is interesting. I'm coming someplace. Stay with me today. I just kind of flow with it. John 3, let's not forget that. Jeff Sessions. What's going on with Jeff Sessions? What's going on? You can't trust Jeff. Fire Jeff Sessions. Sessions is part of the deep state. Fire, you got to get rid of Sessions. And I'm kind of joining that chorus myself. So what's going on? What's going on here? And Q keeps saying, trust Sessions, yada, yada, yada. And I came across something yesterday. What do you think about this? When Rod Rosenstein or Steen, they call it both ways, I don't know which one it is. When Rod Rosenstein went before Congress to be approved by the Senate, you know, that had to be approved by the Senate. Rod Rosenstein was approved 92-6. Rod Rosenstein. When Jeff Sessions went before the Congress to be approved as Attorney General, it was 52-46. That ought to tell us something, shouldn't it? That ought to tell us something. If Sessions was part of the deep state, wouldn't they all been voting for him like they were Rosenstein? Just something to chew on. I'm in John 3 today. You guys? Yes. Yes, somebody tried to pipe in. Nope. Yes. Nope. Man, we got a good crowd today. I got 33. That's a Masonic number. Need somebody to join. Somebody else get in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring you up to date. This is Glenn.
Hey, Glenn.
So we just had our second meeting of the Dallas Salt Light Brigade. And so the consensus was that people wanted fellowship and more in-depth study of the Word. So we are organizing a Bible study. David Hawkins is going to lead it at his house, and we'll be getting together on June 6th. So
awesome.
That's I touch base with one of the guys, one of the new guys that came to the meeting yesterday, and just to let you know, Chad, if you're in the queue here, he's got a relative down in Temple, so he's very excited about when we have our next regional meeting about coming to that. So Doyle Anderson. So we're hey guys, on the move. We're on the move here in Dallas.
Glenn, let me ask you. Good for you, Glenn. Good effort. Let me ask you. I get emails all the time. I got one yesterday from a good-hearted guy. I could just tell from his email. He's all alone. He left his church. He loves the Lord. Studying his Bible. He's all alone. Coach, do you know anybody near me? I get those kind of emails. And so I think it's an urgency for all of us guys to try to to build our own groups, because there are guys out there who need plugged in, man. They just need plugged in. And Glenn, I'm sure that you would admit it's getting out of your comfort zone a little bit. It is. And I'm Chad, and you guys that are working it, and Rob Pugh, I know what it's like to plan something and you're sitting there and waiting how many cars are going to come in, who's going to pull up and all that. So you just can't go by that, man. You just can't. You just can't. You have to be faithful servants. I think a sergeant, he's doing it. Just faithful. Just take a few guys and start with them. That's where the fellowship will build. Yeah, Jared.
Kind of an update. I met a kid in a diner last week, and he started talking. I said, "What YouTubers do you like?" And he told me the YouTuber he likes, and I know the YouTuber, right? And this is a guy who questions things. So this kid's 16. I say, "Look, I want to give you an internship," and so we meet up yesterday, and with his dad and him, he's 16, and we end up talking for 3.5 hours about 9/11, about God, about faith, morality, about Christ, about the deep state. And in the very beginning of it, it was, "Hey, are you going to church? You go to church?" "You know, no, I don't really, you know, I just don't like church. You know, I don't like the idea of church. I don't like organized religion, you know." And I was just like, and I'm looking around, looking at the kid, looking at his dad. I'm just like, what is happening? You know, like, so it's, God is moving, man. God is moving. Let me tell you what.
It's something that's happening. And I believe it is happening outside of the stained glass fortresses. I believe that in my heart. I come across them every day who are beginning to realize, Jared, you say 9/11, as they begin in their own mind to put together some of these things that they've been lied to about. The more you hear people talking about the deep state, even the guys on the, even the lefties are beginning to scratch their head a little bit, say, "You know what? Yeah, there's something not right here." And again, I think the church is missing. Never let a crisis go to waste. And I think the church is missing it, a crisis. We're missing it. Because most churches won't talk about this. They won't talk about this stuff, right? We're not comfortable with it. Heaven forbid you would ever come to church and talk about something that's uncomfortable. Oh, heaven forbid that would ever happen. But to, see, I want to go plant seeds. I don't know about you. When I leave church, I want to be invigorated and inspired. I don't want to be comforted. I want to be challenged for what I have to do in the next week. Go ahead, whoever that was.
This is Brother Jeff and Fallon.
Hey, Jeff.
I was preaching yesterday, and I had this guy next to me with the F-word sign saying, you know, this guy. And I preached out of John 1, 1 John, and a little girl came over. And the thing is, all these children were saying, "Yeah," to this guy. "Yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah." But I got one little girl come over. "Can I have a Bible?" That's cool. Then I had a Lutheran minister come over and try to convince me that what I was doing is wrong. Mm-hmm. Oh, how do you attract people this way?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
And I call them a coward. I had to. And
they are.
Yes, no backbone. No backbone. All right, thank you.
So you know, Yes, Chad.
Okay, just Chad. All right. Well, I was just going to say on the other point was, look, people, if you want to get really, if you really want to, you got to be able to come and join us. We can't always bring the group to you. You may have to drive 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, you might.
But it'll be worth it.
It will be.
Network.
Amen, Chad. You broke up there a little bit, Chad, but yeah, amen. Okay. Amen.
All right. So we just got, look, we got to be able to have, what I always say is, have gun, we'll travel.
Amen.
So look, have Bible, we'll travel. We've got to be journeymen. We've got to be prepared to, I mean, if it's not going to cost you anything, then it's not going to be worth it.
So Chad, I was asking, so I put a meme on my Facebook page the other day. And the meme on my Facebook page is this. A meme is a thought. You know, just throw a thought up. That's what I do. And the thought was this. Name one American institution that the church has seized back from the left in your lifetime? Name one. And people said, Chick-fil-A. Can you think of one institution that we seized back? And I look at, let's start right with the public schools. Let's just start right there. Everything is welcome in the public schools except what? Christ. Homos in there. LBG alphabets in there. The Muslims are in there. Transcendental meditation's in there. Yoga's in there. Everything's in there except Christianity. There's no Christianity in there. Why is there no Christianity? Well, I mean, what would you expect? 70% of the people are Christians. You wouldn't expect any Christian influence in the schools at all, would you? But see, what's happening is we don't have anybody pushing the issue. There are no Christians, no Christian organization. God bless Franklin Graham, by the way. Franklin Graham he's out in California openly trying to get people to vote Republican. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not. But you look at your local, look at your local church. I'll never forget this. I was in a meeting where there were a group of pastors at the meeting. They were talking about the schools, what needed to go to the schools. And I'll never forget. We're talking about trying to get a program in there to reach the lost kids. And you know what this one pastor said? And I'm not making it up. You know, he said, well, I would be somewhat concerned of having someone I didn't know teach Christian doctrine to our children. I'm thinking, does he have any idea the doctrine that's already being taught in there? But see, we can't come together and fight on that one because we're going to try to figure out who's going to divvy up the people for our churches at the end of it. There's no infiltration by Christians into any, I hate to call it government, any American institution. Christianity, there's a signpost, no Christians allowed, and we obey it. Somebody say amen. And every deviant, amen, sexually deviant, every ungodly idea is welcome in there.
Doors wide open. Doors wide open.
We got to kick the door open. We have got to actively storm those gates. We have to go in and rescue those kids. And I'm going to tell you, listen, oh, amen. Lord Jesus. I'm going to say this. I'm going to make him mad. I'm going to really make him mad. Is it okay, Mark, if I make him mad? I do to make
him
mad.
Please, make me mad. Make us mad.
How dare you? How dare you? Pastors, I'm talking to you, pastors. How dare you send your people from your church on a mission trip to, you name it, without even evangelizing your own public school? You won't even try to evangelize your own public school.
And hey, you coach.
Send people to the uttermost to the guttermost. Send them all around the world. And the name of Jesus ain't even welcome in your own public school.
Amen.
And you
coach.
Don't try to do anything about it. I know, amen, Serge. I know.
Amen.
Why? Because, hey, can I tell you? I'm going to go to Honduras. It's safe down there. I'll be a foreigner. I'll go in there. It'd be safe. Well, hey, come with me. Hey, let's go to Columbus City Schools. Let's go to East High School. Oh, no. They don't need the gospel there, I guess. Go ahead. Who is that? Somebody coming in.
Yeah. Hey, Coach. This is Pastor Dale.
Hey, Dale.
Brother, just a couple of historical points. First off, the Supreme Court of the United States, the old court, used to hold church there. Not only that, in Congress, they used to hold church every Sunday in Congress. And one of the first taxes on the American citizen was to print 20,000 Bibles and to put them into public schools to be taught.
Well, that was before they told us that there was the separation between the church and the state. So we sit back, the church sits back and watches every ungodly influence come into those schools and makes no attempt to go in themselves. None.
No, that's separation of brain and state.
Christ, can we please, can we pray before graduation? Please. Remember when every church, every school used to have a baccalaureate? You guys remember that? You remember the baccalaureate? Every graduation had a baccalaureate. What was the baccalaureate? The baccalaureate was a church service before graduation. You guys remember that, don't you? And I remember very specifically, John Calhoun, our principal, told everybody, you will be a baccalaureate. You will be a baccalaureate. That's 1971. Now, can we please pray at graduation? Oh, we can't make I can't make it to graduation. We're taking a mission. We're taking a mission trip to the Bahamas. We're going to go down there and suffer in the sun. Somebody say amen so I don't feel like I'm all alone here.
Hey, brother.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Hey, I love American history. George Washington ordered for the Bible. George Washington ordered for a Bible to be brought to him in his inauguration because it wasn't part of it. And he refused that until that Bible was brought. He leaned over and kissed it. He blessed the people. He ordered Congress down to that little church and for a church service while Congress was still in session, and ordered the chaplain and the minister to lay hands and pray on every single one of them congressmen. And then he brought him back to New York, and then he dismissed Congress.
Can we pray before graduation, please? Can we do that? Unbelievable. John 3, the Lord just on my heart here this morning. What's up? How are we at war? Or we talk about war? Are we at war? If we're at war, why aren't we at the front? Why aren't we on the front lines? If we're at war, why do we go to other countries to fight when the war is right here? Why? I'm sorry. This is me. Now I'm going to really make him mad. Really make him mad. Oh, well, I'm sorry, Lord. I couldn't care less about some person in China, if I won't take care of the one right here. What am I doing in China? Somebody say amen.
You're making yourself feel good.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to say that, you know, it's you don't know anybody when you go abroad.
That's easy.
Okay. And when you're standing out there holding a sign in your hometown and the guys from the bowling league drive by and see you.
Here we are. Yes, sir.
Whoever put drive by, all those people drive by and see you, then, you know, they're going to make a line. You draw your line in the sand.
Hey, Chad, even worse than that, what if people at your church come by and see you? Oh, can't be having that. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a hotshot in the church. And he came to Jesus by night and said to him, teacher, rabbi, look, dude, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Everybody knows that. Come on, man, we know that.
There's a man of the Pharisees.
Because no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. We get it. Jesus said unto him, hey, Nick, listen, dude, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nick, I'm sorry, man. You're trying to see this thing with natural eyes, and this ain't a natural kingdom, buddy. I'm sorry, so you can't understand it. And Nicodemus said unto him, oh, come on, dude. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he go back inside his mommy again, be born? Come on. Can't do that. Jesus said, oh, come on, Nick. I say unto you that unless you be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom. Now, hang on a minute. There must be another kingdom that we can enter now. Must be. Because he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised when I say to you, you got to be born again. You hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from. You can't tell where the wind's coming from. It just goes. Can't figure that out. It's just that. And old Nick still didn't get it and said, how can this be? Coach, where are you coming up with some of these things that you're saying, Coach? What? How can this be? Jesus said to him, art thou a master of Israel You mean to tell me you've been to seminary and you don't know this stuff? Well, let me tell you something. We speak what we know. Hey, Roger, you can't teach what you don't know. We speak what we know and testify what we have seen. And you still don't receive our witness. And if I've told you earthly things and you're not going to believe them, then how the heck are you going to believe things that are heavenly? I bet Nicodemus is shrinking about now. And there's no man who's ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish doesn't mean die. Perish means not to have any direction, control. You have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not be without direction in his life, but have everlasting life. For God said, send not his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Here's how you know. Here's how you know you haven't received the light and haven't received the Spirit and you're not born again. This is how you know. The light came into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. You won't even let it in the schools. Can't get that light in the schools. And those who have that light, supposedly have that light, won't even fight to have their flashlights flashing in the schools. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. Are you kidding me? Why? Why do men love the darkness rather than the light? Because their deeds are evil, man. It ain't hard. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed, reproved. But he that doeth the truth, he comes to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, Jeff, you probably weren't embarrassed standing out there in front of everybody preaching yesterday. Now, they wanted you to, but you've come to the light. So you like the light. You like the suntan you get from the light. Others don't like it because they don't have any suntan lotion on. And so they don't like it, the fact that you're in the light and you're bringing other light, so they ridicule you and make fun of you. Do all they can to get you to stop. After these things, Jesus came and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there they tarried with him and baptized. John also was baptized in Anon, near to Salem. Because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. But John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. There you go. There comes that religion. They came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with you beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. So we got some other guy over here doing it too, John. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, John the Baptist. And I'm not the dude, but that I am sent before him. I'm preparing the way. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He said, I'm preparing the way for the guy that's coming, man. And I couldn't be any more happy than the way I'm doing it. Good for you, Jeff. Good for you. Hey, Jeff, you need to go to Guatemala someplace. You need to go someplace where they don't speak English. Maybe you can preach to them there. And he that cometh from above is above, and all that is of the earth is earthly. Speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen, I better put him on. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. No man receives his testimony. Remember, you can't testify about what you haven't seen. He that received his testimony of sin hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and giveth all things unto the Son. Look at this. But he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Our churches are full of people who are not born again. Full of them. Not born again. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They love themselves too much. I love myself a lot. Okay, I'm confessing. I love myself a lot. Love my things. I love all of it. Lord, help me to die to my flesh. All of us. Anybody jump in here? Anything? Just thought I'll say that. Some of the people you're dealing with aren't born again. And some of the people that you're dealing with who are born again don't hear the voice of the Lord or don't recognize the voice of the Lord. They don't understand it.
I know exactly what you meant, Coach, but, you know, our churches aren't full of people that aren't born again. Our satanic social clubs are full of people that aren't born again.
And, Dave,
yeah.
there's that little word in verse 36, God's wrath.
Yeah. Roger, hey, Jared, Webster's 1828, please. Webster's 1828, real quickly.
See, I wouldn't mind a little bit of the love gospel if we had a little bit of the wrath gospel.
Roger, we need more wrath and less love.
The fear of God gospel.
Right?
Most men won't know how to get saved till they realize how lost they really are.
Amen. Look at this. It says number 3, the just punishment of an offense or crime. Wrath is just punishment, what we deserve. Isn't that something? Wrath. Jared, that's not the word that I wanted. Jared, look up abide. Abide. Because it says the wrath of God abides on them. Abides on them. Abada, to be or exist, to continue, to dwell, rest, continue, stand firm, to rest or dwell. To tarry or stay for a short time, to continue permanently or in the same state, to be firm and immovable, to remain, to continue. So the wrath of God remains and continues upon them.
Boy, I like what Dale said. Boy, Dale, say that again, what you just said. That was a nugget there.
A man will never know how to get saved until he realizes how lost he really is.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. That's awesome. You know, I'm thinking, Coach, you know, those people who are raising a standard for Jesus, okay, are making people mad because they're being confronted with their own sin. So that's why mm-hmm. a lot of people get angry. And I think that this young guy in Philadelphia, Connor Haynes, you should play that video sometimes about where he stood along with his sister outside of a high school yeah. outside of Philadelphia with the abortion sign, and the assistant principal came out and berated him.
Yep.
And the end result was that those two kids, 16 years old, ended up being interviewed by Tucker Carlson on Fox News, preaching the gospel to the nation.
Mm. Amen. That's right. So, see, the Lord uses that sacrifice. Well, again, the scripture says what the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. And so when you put yourself out there, what appears to you to be trouble is actually an opportunity. It really is. And truth be told, we ought to be spending more time in jail, guys, not less. We really should.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff.
It's like I've been planning now. The summers are break for the school boards, right? And they'll start yep. back up when they go back to school. With yep. all the listeners and all the people you have every morning, why don't we start doing something, whether it be school boards, whether it be something through the summer, to orchestrate some teaching and some training on – think how many people are listening. In all the different cities, we hit the schools. You know what I mean? We need to do something.
Well, they're not going to be in the school, Jeff. So you can't hit the schools. They're not. What do you mean hit the schools? Kids are out of school.
That's what I'm saying. When it starts back up. We orchestrate something through the summer, get a game plan for this coming fall. City after city after city, we do something to attack that problem with the schools.
Well, well, good plan. That, I mean, it's not a bad idea. Come up with a plan.
Here's the problem that we face. There, you know, we are afraid to get outside of our comfort zones. We are afraid of confrontation. We are afraid to do anything. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to stand in a gap. I'm going to start filling a hole. I'm going to start pissing some people off. And that's what we all need to be doing.
So, Kevin, let's think about this a second. Let's think about this. In any type of athletic event that you would ever engage in, I don't care what the sport is, the idea of it is to beat the enemy. That's the object. But they call it athletic competition, to beat the enemy. Now, as we look at this whole thing collectively, we in the body of Christ do not recognize the enemy, and we have no desire to beat him. People love to use the John 10:10, which says the thief is cometh but to kill and to steal and to destroy. And I've pointed out a number of times that the thief is not the devil. The devil doesn't come to steal and to kill and to destroy. Although he does, that's not what that verse is saying. That verse is talking about the hireling.
You dropped out.
But we know that our adversary, the devil, roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, the word says. So why are we in this, if we are contending for the faith, which is what Jude told us to do, to earnestly contend for the faith, which is once delivered to the saints, why are we not contending? Why do they own the government? Why do they own the banks? Why do they own the schools? Why do they own the universities? Why do they own Hollywood? Why do they own the police forces? Why do they own the courts? Why do they own the family? Why is the church not contending for these things? Why, if we are in a spiritual war, if we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, if the battle is not with flesh and blood, why do we let them have all the power in the flesh? Why do they get all the power in the flesh? Because why? We do not contend. We let them have the children. We're worried about our own kids, but not our neighbor's kids. I'll pull my kids out and put them in Christian school and homeschool them, but they can teach homosex to my neighbor's kid because they don't have anything to do with me. Oh, and by the way, I'm heading to China for a week. I'll be back. I'm going to go try to save some Chinese. It infuriates me.
It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous that we don't contend, that we don't protect, that we don't conquer the area in which we live. Why would Jesus put us here? Why would he say, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Why would he say that? Why would he say, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, and the gospel of Jesus Christ not be permitted in the public school you pay for.
Coach, you know, there's an interesting verse in Acts 13:16. It says, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. You know what? If you don't have the fear of God Almighty, of what happens to you if you don't get on his side, if you don't have that fear in you, any gospel that, you know, any gospel that's preached to you is wasted.
Amen. Larry, I've got guys who've never been to the streets that I'm trying to take to the streets, and they're too afraid to come. You know why they're too afraid to come? Because they might get stretched a little bit. They might get barked at, yelled.
Because they fear man, not God.
That's right. They might get spit at. They might, who knows? Some Muslim might make a face at him. Who knows? And in the meantime, every place we're going to go, the enemy's in control of. Huh? Every place we're going to go, the enemy owns every one of them. And how can we say that we want to go occupy till he comes and we won't even go to the gates. We won't even go try to contend for those 3 years. We won't try to rescue babies. We won't try to counter the false gospel of Islam. We won't go out and declare liberty to the captives at the Homo Pride Parade. They own Columbus, Ohio. Do you hear me? They own Columbus, Ohio. They own the city council. They own the police force. The chief of police of the city of Columbus is a lesbian. They own the city of Columbus. And Christians everywhere are paying taxes to support that ungodly system. Jared, go to Matthew 17 then when you get a chance. Go ahead.
Well, the reason why came out last night when I was talking to these guys, at the very end of it, it came down to moral relativism. And, you know, well, this is good for me, but it may not be good for you. And I
reminded somebody else.
But yep. You got it. At the core of that, that eliminates your ability to say, okay, that's cool that you do that, but we don't do that here.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that across the ocean. Or, you know what, you can do that in your country, but we don't do that here.
You can do that in San Francisco, but you ain't doing it here in Columbus, right?
We don't do that here, you know, because God, that's why. And this is God's land.
And so the church has been co-opted throughout that whole thing. See, church is the same thing. Now, I told you I was going to talk a little bit about money, but this is so clear. Jared, I'm in, I've read this before, but I want you guys to see this. And Kyle Manta what's the name of that thing? Left-wing supporters or right-wing watch, whatever it is. Listen closely. I'm just going to read the word to you. I'm in 17. Did I say 17? And let's go to 22. I'm sorry. Matthew 17, 22. Make some of you nervous here. All right. While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry. And when they came to Capernaum, they that received the taxes, they that collected taxes, came to Pete and said, hey, Pete, does your master pay taxes? Now, let's get this here. Jesus is not a citizen of Rome. All right. Sometimes I wake up and wonder if I'm even a citizen of this government. And I really, am I even part of this? They told me there's a separation between the church and the state. Yet they want to take my money and tinkle all over the church. Yes or no? Somebody say amen. It's okay. Hey, Jesus, does Jesus pay his taxes?
Hell no.
And Pete says, yeah. Yeah, he does.
Okay.
And when he was coming to the house, Jesus stopped him. He says, oh, hey, Pete. Come here, Pete. What do you think, Pete? Of whom do the kings of the earth take taxes? From their own children or of strangers? And Peter said, well, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, okay, bud, we don't pay taxes. We're free. Watch. However, he went on to say, lest we should get in trouble and they crucify me for not paying taxes, we're going to go ahead and pay them. But I want you to know, Peter, that we're not going to offend them. You go right out into that sea, you throw out a hook, you catch a fish, and there's going to be a coin in that fish's mouth. And you take that piece of money and you give it unto them for me and for them. But let it be known, Pete, we're free. Basis being, folks, the income tax, as it was designed, was never designed for American citizens. Did you guys know that? Did you know that? First of all, there never was an income tax. It only came about in 1913. Up until that time, there had never been an income tax. But the income tax, as it was written into the Constitution, was a tax only on foreigners. Did you know that? Did you know that biblical application that the people are free? Income tax I'm talking about. Not excise taxes, not taxes on, not...
Hey, Coach, it's semantics.
Taxes. It's semantics.
Right.
It is what semantics. They
do, income does not equal wages. Otherwise, it would be the same word. Your wages are what you exchange for your blood, sweat, tears, and time. Income is something you find and profit from, period.
So in other words, Vince, if I go out and I got a lawnmower and I'm going to mow grass for a living, and I go out and I spend all day sweating my blood and fixing my tractor and putting gas in that tank and everything, and when I'm done at the end of the day, people have given me $200. Well, I know I haven't made any income. I traded my know-how. I traded my energy. I traded my effort. I traded everything for money. It was an exchange. It ain't income.
Exactly.
But Coach, you know that's a great insight, and I knew that from 1913. But as you look at all that, what had transpired over those next decade, we have become the godless society. Thus, we are now the strangers.
Brother, isn't that something? Huh?
That's exactly what it is, Coach. If we have eyes to see in the spirit realm, brother, see, we just want to live in this natural, but we need to have eyes to see. Remember what I sent you on Sunday about the man where Jesus let him out and he spit in his face and he asked him, what do you see? He says, I see men as trees. Jesus was standing right before him. Jesus had to lay his hands on him again that his eyes would be open to see the salvation before him. Brother, we need to have eyes to see what you just said. We are now the strangers.
We are
the strangers in this country.
Well, we're not supposed to be, see. We're not supposed to be.
But we have become a nation that God is no longer the God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But sin is a transgression to any people, and that's what we have become. We've become the enemy of the cross.
Do you know that one of the things that the Bible specifically says you cannot do, specifically does not permit, is usury? You know what usury is, guys? You guys know what usury is? Interest. Usury. Look it up, Dale. Jared. Formerly interest or a premium paid or stipulated to be paid for the use of money. Impressive usage. Illegal interest. Illegal interest. A premium or compensation paid or stipulated to be paid for the use of money borrowed or retained beyond the rate of the interest established by law. The practice of taking interest. It's forbidden. Usury forbidden in the Bible. And we now live on a debt-based system. We live. And so what we are in bondage. Our children and our grandchildren are in bondage, Dale, because we have become strangers in our own country. We are strangers in our own country because of the way the financial system is set up. The Federal Reserve is not American. The World Bank is not American. The money is not American. Despite what they tell you, we are foreigners in our own country. Thomas Jefferson warned us against that. Go ahead, Mark. Was it you?
Yeah. Go back to that definition real quick, Jared. In present usage, look at how it changed beyond the rate of interest established by law. Mm. So what happened there is our law replaced the biblical meaning. Did you catch that?
I do now.
Man's law becomes God to themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
So Christians, come on now. Let's think here a little bit. Why are you bound to pay taxes to a system that you're a stranger to? Yeah. do you understand that the income tax system was set up only for strangers and foreigners to have to pay? And what happened? They just made all of us strangers and foreigners. That's all they did. And so now everybody has to pay into it. Yeah, Vinny?
Yeah, the corporations colluded with them to take the burden off the foreigners and put it on we the people.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
Did you know this? I didn't. Boy, I've only got 9 minutes. I got a whole thing. Maybe I'll kick it over tomorrow. I don't know if you guys know this or not. I know you don't. Probably don't. That the whole purpose. Help me out here, Lord. When we are doing trade, foreign trade, because, listen now, because it was illegal to tax your own, God, Jesus made that point, didn't he? Children are free. Because citizens of the United States, I don't even like that word, people who are Americans are free, but it says income tax was only on foreigners. We used to call those tariffs. And how did America maintain its wealth? Why? They charged tariffs or taxes upon people on the outside shipping stuff in. The people away from the country who imported stuff into America, they paid the taxes. And then, lo and behold, we get into the 20th century, and all of a sudden we begin to see all these treaties, the North American Free Trade, there's just thousands and thousands of treaties. And what did those treaties say? Those treaties said this: hey, let's all come in here in one union, and here's what, freely, and you won't have to pay. Did the income have to come in from? Well, the income had to come in from the people because there weren't any strangers now being charged. You see what's going on? And so the more free trade they do, no tariffs, the greater the burden on the people in the country to raise the money out of their own pockets. And because we've said no tariffs, well, Trump's one thing Trump's trying to do, right? Trying to do to the Chinese, that you're killing us in this trade war. You're killing us. You're sending us all this cheap stuff, and you aren't buying any of that. And we're in debt because why? Because we can't get any money from y'all. And Jesus said right there, my people don't pay the taxes. It's the strangers that pay the taxes.
Maybe. So hey, Coach.
All of these free trade agreements, all of them, were to put America in bondage. That the only money we have in America is money taken out of our own pockets, and we're supposed to be free. Yeah, Dale.
1 Peter 2:11, Coach. That scripture is fulfilled today as you're speaking it. 1 Peter 2:11.
I'm looking, man. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and and pilgrims. Abstain
from we're the strangers now, brother. We're the aliens.
But what are we doing? We are supplying the devil's team. We are, guys, can you, I got goosebumps. Can't you see it? Can't you see what they did to us? They threw us out. They made laws and rules where we became foreigners, and then they charged us to pay for all of their ungodly stuff. My. And heaven forbid you ever hear a pastor or a minister speak out against paying taxes. They say, oh, how good you pay your taxes. That's patriotic to pay your taxes. Really? Really? Kyle, he'll put that one up on there. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Coach, you know what? And the powers to be did it slow enough that the American people have accepted it. You know, can you imagine? If every one of us had to pay our taxes monthly, we had to actually write out a physical check and send it in.
Isn't that something? Hey, what? Yep.
I would say then there might be a tax revolt.
Right. Right. But see, this idea, fellas, the idea, when I stand before Almighty God and he says, Coach Dave, I know how hard you fought to save the unborn. I know you did. But Coach, weren't you funding it? Well, so, well, Lord, I was just paying my taxes. Well, why were you doing that? Coach, didn't you know that they were taking that money to kill babies with it? Why did you continue to do it? Well, my pastor told me that that was patriotic. And my pastor told me. This is a great, great deception.
Yes.
I got some more stuff I'm going to roll. And debt, it makes us all slaves. And you know what it is? Well, I'll save it for tomorrow. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, the two times in the New Testament where the word usury is used, once is in the book of Matthew where the parable of the guy that, you know, of the talents. The one servant was given 10, one given 5.
Everybody, I'm sorry, go ahead again.
5, one given 2, and one given
Where 5. In Matthew? Do you know, Larry?
Yeah, that's Matthew 25.
Matthew what?
Matthew 25.
Matthew 25?
Yeah, and that starts down here about, 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man, okay? This is, yep. This, you know, a parable. And when Jesus spoke in parables to the groups, to the masses of people, remember, he spoke so they would not understand what he is saying. He specifically told that was the reason why he spoke in parables when his disciples asked him. Now, when you read this parable through, you see that the one that had 5 talents gained 5, the one that had 2 talents gained 2, the one that had 1 hid it. And it says that master, not God, but that master chewed him out for not putting his money out at usury, not putting his money out at interest. And then again in Luke, what is it here? Luke chapter 19, we see a similar parable, a different story, but the same storyline. He had 10 servants. He gave each of them a pound, and then some of them came back. One came back, and he had gained 10 pounds. Another one had gained, 5 pounds or something like that. And then one had just hidden it in a napkin. But see, the thing is, I have never seen this before this morning. What you do with the blessing God gives you is you like you say, it's forbidden to charge usury. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Today's version says obsessive interest. The usury from the Bible is interest. All right.
Guys,
how do you increase what God gives you? It's the clue is in these parables, and I never saw it till today. Trade. And Jesus was telling his disciples, don't you go and mess around with this interest stuff even. You take that money and you do something more advantageous with it. You take it and you buy something that you can sell for a higher price that is, you know, and you trade around and you increase.
So listen, folks, you don't want to miss tomorrow. You don't want to miss tomorrow. Can I tell you why? Because this whole cabal that we see is going on, the idea of no tariffs being paid, put America in prison. It put us in prison. So where could we get the money? If we're free, right? We're free. So where could we get the money? Well, the only place we could get the money was, well, we could tax it, but then we ran out of money when we taxed it. So let's go to the Fed. Let's get the Fed. They'll loan us the money. Well, where do they get the money? Well, it doesn't matter. They'll loan it to us, and great usury will come as a result of it. In the land of the free and the home of the brave and from sea to shining sea and coast to coast will be sold to strangers.
Yes.
Because we don't understand what the Lord simply said about taxation. We'll catch up on it tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you then.